Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 19th, 2012. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I mean, really, what does it mean to live the life called Christian? Am I the only one who struggles to figure that out? It seems as though we are often living in the midst of a disconnect. We come to a liturgy on Sunday morning. We sit within the safety of the walls of the church building. We say plenty of holy words. We listen to holy stories. And then we leave. We step across the threshold from the sanctuary of God onto the sidewalk of culture. And sometimes it's hard to remember that our faith goes with us, that our commitment to Christ goes with us. It's so easy to compartmentalize, to say, I go to a worship service so that I can work on my spiritual life. But then I go to work so I can earn a living. I think every preacher has had at one time or another someone to come through the receiving line at the end of a service, shake the preacher's hand. I've had it happen to me and say, good enough sermon there, but now the rest of us have got to go to the real world. As if the world inside the church building has been some rarefied air of a fantasy world. So how do we live in the world? How do we take what we hear in church, what we experience in the community of the faithful, and translate that to a way of being in the boardroom or the community room or the office or the classroom or the living room in our homes? How do we make those connections? The people at Corinth were dealing with those same kinds of questions. That's why we've read so much over these last few days about marriage and meat offered to idols and whether or not people should be circumcised. All of this arcane argumentation on the part of Paul that seems really disconnected from those of us living in the 21st century. And yet, if we boil it down, the struggles were the same. The Corinthians were trying to figure out how to give witness, not just in words, but in actions, to the faith that they were claiming in Jesus. Well, in today's lesson, Paul takes up more of the same. He's back on the what do we do about meat sacrificed to idols argument. But tucked away at the conclusion of this rather convoluted piece of writing on the part of Paul is a little line that I think is actually helpful for us to remember here in the 21st century. Paul concludes his argument, or at least this portion of his argument, by saying, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God." So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. That comes pretty close to being universally applicable. How is my behavior giving glory to God? How is my demeanor giving glory to God? How are the choices that I make with regards to my work or my time or my relationships giving glory to God? How's my life a reflection of the faith that I say I have? Or better stated, how is my life a reflection of the faith I say has me? I don't have a great deal of answers to those questions. I'm simply posing them so that we might think about them a little more deeply. It seems to me that the most difficult part of following Jesus is following Jesus out into the world. It is so easy, really, to say holy words inside a building and then just live the life for the rest of the week as if nothing really happened in the building with the holy words. But I know better. I know that every time we feel a little nudge, should I have said that word? Or maybe should I have prayed about that person? Or I wonder what would happen if I would challenge this or that decision at work because I somehow feel that it's lacking in justice or equality or respecting the dignity of another human being. I wonder what would happen if I did that. I'm not suggesting that with enough effort and thought, we can always live consistently to bring glory to God. But bringing glory to God through our lives, both in the great things that we do and in the little day-to-day decisions that no one even sees, but we know about. Seeking to bring glory to God, not for our glory, but for God's glory, seems to be at the heart of what it could mean to be a consistent follower of Jesus. It reminds me of a verse of scripture that we hear every year at the Christmas liturgy. We read that great prologue from the Gospel of John, and we hear John say, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." The way that we, the church, knew Jesus was the Son of God was this embodiment of God's glory. And the characteristics of the embodiment of God's glory was a fullness of grace and truth. As the body of Christ in this day and time, how do we embody God's glory? How do we live toward the fullness of grace and truth? Whatever we do, let us do it for the glory of God. Perhaps Lent is an opportunity for us to reflect on how we can be more gracious and how we can be more truthful and how we can reflect God's glory and how we can live toward it. That seems like a pretty tall order, and yet I want to think that if we just make a little effort here and there, God may meet us along the way, and we may be surprised at the changes in our lives and the changes in the lives of those around us if we will just do everything we can, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, to bring glory to God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, in your holy sacrament, you have given us a foretaste of the good things of your kingdom. Direct us, we pray, in the way that leads to eternal life, that we may come to appear before you in that place of light where you dwell forever with your saints. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. This is the beginning of the fourth week in Lent. Until tomorrow, may the peace of the Lord be with you.